Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. One more day of heat, then it's going to be like 10 days of normal summer, which I'm really looking forward to. Andrew, you wondering why we're all looking at you and laughing?
Yeah, here comes some. Yeah.
But you're going to like it. You're going to like it.
Yeah.
It started with Rachel burning Ranji for no reason whatsoever.
Okay, yeah, I do like it.
Sometimes and you just got to get in there and burn Ranji. Everyone else does it, you know? Okay.
It's like, I didn't do anything to you.
It was a two-year burn.
I am nothing but nice. I say nice things about you.
I know. I'm sorry.
No. Just, like how you're the... You're the most reasonable person in the room at all times, and you say this. God.
So they have cheesecake, and they gave a piece to Wheels, and he offered some to Rach, and she goes, no thanks, it came from Ranji.
Yeah.
Which is about as mean as Rachel gets.
That's really mean.
I mean, what the hell, man?
Sorry, I just had some Red Bull. I'm feeling...
It gave you wings.
Yeah. And flying a little close to the sun.
So Ranji was beside himself, and he looked at you and said, now I get it from him. And I said, you look like Hercules today.
I do?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
And then Ron said,
I'll take it. Well,
and then I said, you look like the Bill Murray Hercules, where he's all like, oh, that boulder's too big, but I can lift a smaller one.
Yeah, there's one small difference between me and Hercules, but just that one. Being that I'm not Greek.
No, you've got the hair's finally grown out a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Matches the beard.
Mm-hmm.
Looking good.
I'm going to have to trim the beard up before Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm going to look like I don't want to look like a fool.
Well, you're going against Miss World American Universe.
Oh, yeah.
So
I am.
Good luck.
Very nervous to look like a fool. I just don't look like that. I keep saying that. I just don't want to look like a fool, which is a very specific.
Don't wear the fool's hat. You'll be fine.
Which is a very specific goal.
How would you look like a fool? So do you have the particulars there, the info?
Yeah, I think I just stand there.
No. I mean, so people can come see you.
I think I just stand there.
Yes.
What you think bartending is?
I wasn't looking for your plan.
Dude.
Yes, it is Saturday from 6 to 7 at Copper Fire in Belleville.
I think I just stand there.
I think I just stand there.
So Andrew's in competition. Oh, with Miss World America, mm-hmm. real thing, and it just tips.
Yes,
and you can see him just stand there.
You can see me if you want to see me just stand
look
there.
Look at my Hercules
and give me a tip for just standing there. Copper Fire in Belleville Saturday from 6 to 7.
Nice.
It benefits the Glow for Hope Foundation for Suicide Awareness.
Yeah, very.
So it's
nice.
It's a very good cause. There's going to be a bunch of people out there, a bunch of stuff to do. There's going to be music. There's going to be people out there hanging out. I'm going to be standing there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see, though, why I'm so worried about looking like a fool?
I do now. Yeah.
You're like, you got nothing to worry about. And then immediately I was like, nah, yes, I do.
In what scenarios did you go through in your mind where you looked like a fool?
Let's see. I'm worried that that Miss World America will be way too into the competition and be like, challenging me on things because I'm not. I don't respond well. I fold immediately if you challenge me.
I'm excited for this competition.
Glad you put that out there.
Yeah.
All she would have to do is say like, "Hey, give me all of your tips," and I'm like, "All right, here you go."
I love the idea of Andrew applying for a bartending job. You know what this job's about? I just stand there, right?
Hey, just stand there, right?
And I don't do anything.
I'm excited to mix some drinks, though. That'll be fun.
What's your specialty?
I don't really have one because I don't know how to do it, but I enjoy mixing them. Like, I don't know any recipes, right? I don't know any, like, three parts of this.
What do you enjoy mixing?
Like, just when I make them for myself, just kind of freehand, and I just pour a little of this in there and a little of this in there. And,
yeah. You're a freestyle cocktail maker.
Yeah, and then you just top everything off with grenadine because that just makes it taste like grenadine.
I mean, that tastes pretty good.
What if you have a real gift for this?
I think I might. I've never tried doing it, so I can only assume that I will be perfect at it.
This is why I love Andrew, because he's going back and forth between I don't want to look like a fool to this could be my gift.
Yeah, I have a gift.
Like, it's going to be one or the other.
It's almost certainly, well, as most of the time with things in my life, it turns out to be one or the other.
It's either
something I have a gift for or I can completely humiliate myself.
I think you would be a great bartender because you have the gift for gab.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I'm excited to meet people and talk to people. So I hope people come. I went to the game with my friend last night, and I told him about it, and he was like, boy, that's just Boy, you know, I don't know about, six to seven. Oh, that's going to be tough on a Saturday. I was like, come on.
Yeah, sounds like a good friend.
Yeah, right?
6 to 7 on a Saturday. Who did you ask? Ronch? Was that the friend that you
were? Sounds like something I would say.
You told me that before. Oh, I don't know. Six to seven on a Saturday.
I asked him, I said, are you free on Saturday? And he was like, well, tell me why before I tell you if I'm free.
This was Ronch. This was your friend at the game.
Yeah. He's right. Give me all the information first, then I'll tell you if I can do it.
So all of you out there, be a better friend to me than him and Copper Fire in Belleville.
I know we've told this story so many times, but I love it so much. It's one of the most charming, endearing, weird things you've ever done when you tried to snuggle up next to Ronge by eating a lot of hot dogs.
Yep.
I just love it. Did you do it again last night?
I didn't, but I did eat a lot of hot. Did you see all the hot dogs I ate?
How many did you have?
Only 5.
Wow.
In
Andrew's defense,
I did the 5-5-9 challenge.
They're skinny hot dogs. They're not that big.
I did 5 sodas and 5 hot dogs in 9 innings. So I think I could do the 9-9-9.
I was gonna say, on that, do you think the 9-9-9 is possible?
Yeah, I think next time I go to the game, I might go.
Were you
for
still
the
a little
9-9.
Hungry?
He's training right now.
I was still hungry. I ate
did
some
you
more when
a
I got
bun
home
with each hot dog.
Well, yeah.
God, please say
it'd be
yes.
way weirder if you didn't.
And he dipped it in water, too, like in Nathan's contest.
If you just had a fistful of dog.
Yeah, I want to give you the idea of what I was doing. I was not swallowing them whole down my gullet like a hot dog eating contest. I was plating
a viper,
them.
unhinging your jaws.
I was plating them with a bun. And
it's all about the presentation. And you know, napkins. Good hot dog's all about the presentation.
Did you use any condiments?
No, I'm not a condiment guy in general. Now, I do like when you pile stuff on top of the hot dog, like a chili dog. Or
condiments.
Like condiments. Well, I don't think you know what that means.
Not like.
Did you make a bet with someone how many oxymorons you could say in one segment?
I mean, when you turn the hot dog into another hot dog-related dish, right? Like when you, like the last hot dog I had from Steve's had like fried chicken wings and ranch.
Yeah.
And buffalo sauce.
Sounds good.
So you want to enhance the dog with more food, not necessarily like a mustard or a
ketchup. Yes, I don't do like ketchup, mustard, relish, that's sort of the traditional thing.
You do like pot roaster.
But yeah.
You know what's really good as a condiment to hot dogs? Another hot dog.
Hodax has the toothpick where they take a hot dog that's giant, and they wrap it in bacon, and they inject it with pepper jack cheese, and then deep fry the whole thing and put it on a roll.
Made me shiver.
I
didn't know where he was going.
Is that a good Dave
was
like,
my body was preparing itself.
Did have a physical reaction when I said they inject it with cheese.
And it's just like, okay.
But that's the kind of hot dog enhancements that I'm really into.
Hot dog enhancements.
So it's been a few weeks. Have you done the ground beef and the hot dog thing yet?
No, they won't let me. I might try again. So we're grilling burgers at my dad's house tonight. So I might try and sneak. I have a couple hot dogs at the house. So I might try and sneak some into that.
Unless there's some relationship I don't know about. I doubt you need anyone's permission.
Yeah, it just means they may not want to eat it.
Well, it's not my grill. So and my
wife. Are you doing the grilling?
No.
Do they like
oh, you're
vet
not doing
everything
it?
That no. goes on the grill?
I am yes they do, and I am an untalented. They're vetting everything now because I accidentally told them what I wanted to do, and now they're like, we don't want you to do that.
What do you mean accidentally?
Well, I told them thinking that they would. I guess it wasn't an accident that I told them,
ground
but their
beef,
reaction was an accident. They got really upset. I thought they'd love it, and they didn't, and they got really upset about it.
Has anyone been excited for your concoction, or is it just
yes.
you? Who?
Me.
Well, no, like anyone you've told.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Just me.
Just
but
wondering.
I'm excited about it.
Well.
Hey, small victories.
Yeah.
What about, just to make
it
a little less weird, what about like nacho cheese and beef?
Yeah, that's
on a
fine.
Dog.
Yeah, that would be fine.
I mean, would that be acceptable to your friends?
Like nacho cheese and then
a
little
chili.
Like nachos, but on a hot dog.
Oh, yeah. Dave, that's a great idea.
Thanks.
That's a really good idea.
Just trying to help you out.
Yeah. I should have done that at the game last night. I
the ingredients
launch.
Were there.
Yeah, it's a veteran move.
Then I soft launch the you know, hey, how about this?
Oh, would you said I saw flaunch, and I was like, flaunch.
Who's flaunch?
No, you just you soft launch the idea, so you real ease people into it. You say, hey.
Then you just keep taking the cheese away until you're left with nothing but ground beef.
Yes, and I'm like, now imagine I split this thing open and stuff it all in there.
Now, would you have done that in front of all those people last
yeah,
night?
Yeah, of course I would have. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, what do you got to lose? Yeah.
What have I got to lose?
Respect.
Who knows? They might have been like, wow, that was amazing.
Did that guy just soft launch his hot dog?
Everybody is they are piling up nachos on these plates, right? Like, there's nothing grosser.
Yeah.
There's no way that the hot dog filled with cheese is grosser than that.
I don't think it's that weird.
Yeah, I don't
either. A hot dog filled with cheese?
But you're talking the chips too, right?
Yeah. No, this is a great idea. This is how I'm gonna bring this up tonight while I'm grilling it.
No, you could.
Well,
even,
while I'm convincing my wife to grill it,
you could just cover the whole dog with nachos, and then eat it with like utensils.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those the more elaborate hot dogs you have to eat with utensils, right? Like if you go to
like chicken wings.
Yes, if you go to Steve's or whatever, and they put chicken wings and ranch all over the hot dog, you got to eat it with utensils because it's just not economical.
How many nights a week do you eat dogs?
Boy, that's a good question. At least one.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not bad.
No, I would say at least one because they're such a good, cheap, and easy thing to make.
Sure.
It's kind of like a perfect.
You still going
like,
expensive?
You got to get the, man, I'm really into those, the members mark at Sam's, the great big ones. Man, it's the same ones they serve at the cafe, right? And so there's like, you just can't beat it. You just cannot beat it. I think Dave is baiting that guy who texted.
I forgot about that guy.
My whole law firm hates hot dogs.
That's
and Dave. Right.
Well, Dave's always making fun of animals.
Yeah, because Dave's always mocking the
animals.
The
way I mock animals.
You were just mocking a polar bear yesterday. He called him stupid.
Oh.
He's going to believe you. We're going to get an all caps text.
Can't believe it.
My whole law firm is furious.
123 DGS. Boy, do I have a dumb thing to say right now. It's apropos of the new vice presidential candidate on the Democrat side, Walz, how are we going to say it?
Walz?
Walz with a Z. Okay, fair enough. I really wish, because he is a progressive Democrat, it would be so wonderful, so utterly life-changing, if we could have a real standoff, a real debate, legitimately, not low IQ Kamala, not name calling, not the worst in the history of, because I, for one, I appreciate having Amy on the show because she knows stuff and she explains to me the difference between classic liberalism and modern liberalism. And those things are very interesting to me. I would like to know what progressive Democrats actually stand for as opposed to the end of democracy and the end of the world as we know it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I am certainly not holding out hope because we're not going to get that. We're going to get bomb throwing. We're going to get flamethrowers. We're going to get the absolute worst. We're going to get pejoratives. We're going to get nicknames. It would be so wonderful if we were adults in this country and if we could actually have a debate about, look, I am a progressive Democrat. Here's what I believe. Here's why I believe it. Here's why I believe it's the best path forward for the country. And then have the other side say, here's why we think you're wrong. We are conservatives or we're MAGA conservatives. And we think that you go awry here. And we think that your ideas would be bad for the country because of X, Y, Z. But that can't be it. It has to be a slap fight. And that makes me sad. And it makes me sad. Look, once you have kids, everything becomes about your kids. And so it's still my world, but pretty soon it's going to be their world. And we do a disservice to each and every citizen by having these pissy fights as opposed to having something approaching an intellectual fight. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad to know that that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, it used to be that way.
It did used to be.
And it
much
wasn't
more that
long
that
ago. I think if you want, like, I think we all understand, like, the Reagan conservative, right? I mean, we've heard John Hancock describe it a lot. Amy, would you call yourself that? Is that where you fall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we know what that is. And I would say that's probably a large percentage of conservatives would say that's kind of my base. I think if you were going to look at the base for what the liberal side would say, it's kind of like, all right, look at the policies that Barack Obama was working on. because each faction has its extreme ends that do want the crazier outcomes, but they tend not to be the candidates that get nominated in big races, right? Not for president. They might be people that win local races in the House of Representatives. You'll get the squad. They're going to be more, they'll be further to the left, yeah. right? And then obviously the furthest of the right MAGA people would be on that side. And then there's these larger groups of people. And I think you can see, based on what's been enacted over time, that that's the basic. Like, if you're going to go, like, what's the norm? What would be a normal, not crazy liberal platform? It's probably the Obama administration, right? Those 8 years. Because they had time. You had cooperation in Congress for some of that time. Like, that's what it would be. Just like, I think I don't know, Amy, would you say that, has there been an update before MAGA to the Reagan conservative, or that kind of, was that kind of the base
party.
That cared? Tea Party,
the
but
tea
that was
party
not
was
the,
for a little while.
But that wasn't the majority of the party, right? That was a percentage of the party.
Yeah, that was a percentage. And then I would say that the Republican Party really changed after, like, John McCain lost, Mitt Romney lost, and then all of a sudden it became a more combative, a more bombastic base that said, that's it. No more Mr. Nice Guy Republicans. Generally, progressives have been the one that want to shove things through quickly. And conservatives had been, in general, more concerned with process rather than results. And I think you really see a change where conservatives/Republicans started becoming more antagonistic after those losses, saying, we're going to start shoving things now.
You sit in traffic now. But later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
132 DGS. We have a busy day today. It's election day, primary day. Senator Bill Igel will join us at the top of the hour for a quick hit, get his last sales pitch in there. We have Ricky Horton coming up. Dave Murray returns from his back surgery. We have the think tank with David Barkalidge and Alvin Reed, both really good guys. And then tonight, election coverage. And how excited are you guys about all this?
I'm so excited.
Are you invested?
I'm invested. I get so patriotic. I've been singing Grand Old Flag all day long.
Wow,
we
creepy.
Played it on the show.
It's bad.
And I march. Like, that's how I feel like when I'm going to vote and I'm walking down the sidewalk.
You hear, like, background music?
Mm-hmm. Like a brass band behind me. And I'm swinging my arms, ready to go do my patriotic and civic duty.
Mm-hmm.
So go vote. Vote for the good people.
It's a good way to put it. Vote for the good people.
Not the crazy people.
Yeah. We have lots of sports people in the room. Let's talk some sports. Let's talk some baseball. Talk some Cardinals. But first, Ron and I on the break, we're talking about the White Sox debacle. And I just have to know, like, how do you get this bad? How does it happen?
Well, it starts with bad ownership. That's the very beginning of it. Bad decisions. They had a really good core they put together about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they absolutely squandered it. Didn't do anything to make it better. Things just fall apart. I don't know. But this is sort of... It's gotten to the point where if you're a Sox fan, it's almost fun. There's a thing called fun bad.
Yeah.
Where your team's bad, but it's almost fun that they're this bad. And now they're rooting for them to be the losingest team ever. And I'm rooting for it, too. I hope they lose 130 games. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of dislike for Reinsdorf, so
he's,
I think that fuels a lot of it.
He's not
21
great.
Games in a row.
It's the record. They could set the record tonight with a loss in Oakland.
So if I'm doing this, remember, I saw this earlier today. So if you take out this 21-game losing streak, and they had a 10-game losing streak earlier this year.
They had a 14-gamer.
14, sorry. Yeah. So if you take out the 21 and the 14, I'm not great at math, but that's 35, they would still be 27 and 53.
Wow.
So I was telling Dave this.
I mean, they would still be one of the worst teams in baseball.
On August 5th, so it's the 6th now, but on August 5th, they were 60 games under 500. It is the first time that a team has been 60 games under 500 at this point of the year, like this early in the season, since 1899. The Cleveland Spiders.
Yeah,
a team that doesn't even exist anymore.
That's back when Swampy Gooch was playing.
Yeah, Swampy Gooch.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
I saw a great tweet last night that said, imagine telling someone on July 10th that before the White Sox win another game, Kamala Harris will be announcing her running mate.
Trump
someone,
will be shot.
Someone will shoot at Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Will shoot Trump. All of these things have happened since the last time they won.
Do they have some good players?
Well, they have a couple. Like, one is not having a good year. Luis Robert had an amazing year last year.
A
as
guy
center
the Cardinals
fielder.
Fans wanted when he was available, what,
might
four,
not
5 years
ago? Might
be
bad to see what that cost in the offseason, too.
I agree with you.
Very, very gifted five-tool player, power, good center fielder, all that. But he's having a terrible year. He got hurt early in the year, and he's just not been good this year. The crazy thing is they are what they are, 27 and 88, even though they've had two of the best pitchers in the American League.
Yep.
Because Eric Fetty, who the Cardinals now have, was having a phenomenal year with them. And then Garrett Crochet has been one of the three or four best. He's a Cy Young candidate. Somehow they have this record and having had two of the best starting pitchers in the American League.
And don't you think there's an irony or something poetic about them potentially setting the record against the Oakland A's?
Yeah, it would be great.
and look at it. So the Cardinals get Pham from the White Sox.
Yeah, and he was,
and he
by
seems
the way,
to be rejuvenated.
Pham was probably the best everyday player for the White Sox, when minus Luis Robert, who had been hurt.
Yeah.
Like, Pham was their best everyday player, and he's been good since coming over here, obviously.
Yeah. And he couldn't be happier to be out
of
that.
Oh, God, man. That had to be the worst.
So, to our own troubles, I know you have thoughts.
So, we're late enough in the year now. You know, all year, I'm the guy that's like, hey, it's there's time, no need to judge. But we're now under 50 games remaining. And you're now 7-10 since the All-Star break. You have 21 of the next 24 games against playoff caliber teams. So you've got Tampa Bay, they're over 500. The Royals are a playoff team right now. You've got the Dodgers, the Padres, the Yankees, the Brewers. This is all in the next 3 weeks. This is the season right now. There's no more time to wait. There's no more be patient. Like now, it's now. Because if these next 3 weeks don't go right, the season's over.
Kind of what Pham was saying.
Right, and Tommy Pham was right about that. And you know, I'm not going to name names, but some of the guys that are reasonable, calm, rational Cardinals fans have said to me off the air, I'll let them say it on the air if they want to, that these last few days have completely turned them on the way the team is heading right now. And the thing that I'm on right now is their organizational. This is, I'm not picking on Ali, although he's a part of it. I'm not picking on any individual players in this, but their organization's refusal to adapt to the current needs is killing me. The starting rotation has a 5.25 ERA since July 1st. So your starting pitchers are giving up a lot of runs. And their response to everything is, well, we're just going to lean into defense. Defense doesn't help you win games when your starting pitching is giving up a lot of runs. So you need more offense. You need to score more runs. Like if you're a football team and your defense allows 21 points a game, your response to that isn't, well, we're just going to run the ball more and protect the ball. No, you have to score more. You have to score more. And if you look at the way the team is constructed, they cannot hit left-handed pitching. On the season, the only teams that have hit lefties worse than the Cardinals are the Rockies, the Marlins, and the White Sox, the three worst teams in baseball. And they will not do anything to address it.
Well, I think their problem is, and I don't know if I blame them or not, because their expectation is that Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt would be Nolan Arenado 100%. And Paul Goldschmidt. And if those guys aren't, now your lineup's really in trouble, because that is supposed to be the heart of your order. And
I agree.
They are not producing the way they're supposed to, then everything changes.
The root cause of where they are right now is that their two most expensive players haven't been good enough.
Yep.
That's the root cause. But you still have to do something about it when they're not.
Let's drill down on that. How good or bad are they? Are they, if you had never heard of these guys before, and we made a trade for them, and you're like, okay, let's see how these two guys play. Are they average MLB players, slightly above, slightly below, if you just judge them?
They're about average, offensively. Yeah. Like, just speaking on offense, they're both right about major league average. Which, again, is when you're making $35 million a year, like Nolan Arenado, if you look at like the adjusted stats, right, according to the adjusted stats, he is 2% below major league average offensively. So he's basically average. And Paul Goldschmidt's a little less than that.
So kind of the opposite of the money ball concept.
Right, 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 exactly. And the guys that have saved the season have been Alec Burleson and Mason Wynn, right, and others. But those have been the main two where you've gotten way more good from them than you could have planned for. And that's a season.
For about $700,000 a year.
Right. And but that's how a season goes. There are going to be players that are less than you expected. There are going to be players that are more than you can expect. That's not unusual. But you can't control that very well. And you're not going to bench Nolan Arenado. You're not going to bench Paul Goldschmidt. But what you look at is you've got a right-handed hitting catcher in Ivan Herrera who's sitting at AAA, who is a better option against left-handed pitching than almost any of the guys you're running out there against left-handed pitching. You've got a minor league infielder, Thomas DeJacy, who just had 1,000 OPS for the month of July, hit 350 with power for an entire month, and you won't call him up to let him plug in against left-handed pitching. You've got Lucan Baker, who has 28 home runs at Memphis. He can't come up and be an option against lefties because we have to have two older veterans that aren't contributing in Matt Carpenter and Brandon Crawford. Part of the reason they don't contribute is they're left-handed hitters, so they don't counteract this problem that we're talking about facing lefties.
So why don't they send them down and bring up the...
Well, they can't send those guys down. They have to release them, and they don't want to lose the veteran presence. I would argue that with this little time left, with this three-week period being as important as it is...
Give it a shot.
Forget leadership. You need your best 26 players.
Who would you bring up?
I mean, Herrera would be here tomorrow, and I know they value the defense of Pedro Pajes. That's fine, but as I'm pointing out...
You're not going to win on defense.
Defense is not going to make up for it. Now, the other solution is your pitchers could be better, but you can't make them be better. They're either going to be better or they're not. All you can do is adapt around it. And when you want to know why the Milwaukee Brewers are better than the Cardinals, they don't have a more talented roster. They adapt faster to the current situation on the ground. What does our team need right now? Let's go do more of that. Do we need to run a strict platoon system? We got three lefties that can hit righties, but they don't hit lefties. So we'll bring in three righties that are going to balance that, and we're going to platoon. And the Cardinals are running a team out there with left-handed hitters that can't hit lefties. Burleson doesn't hit lefties. He's a significantly below league average player against lefties. So is Donovan. So is Gorman. Victor Scott doesn't hit anything yet. He may, but he doesn't yet. Michael Ciani is not a good hitter. He's a great defender. I just listed more than half your lineup. And then you throw in Arenado and Goldschmidt struggling. There's one guy that's achieving, and that's Wilson Contreras. You have internal options that could be upgrades to what you have now, but because you're very stuck to the plan, which is defense, 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 you end up with Victor Scott in center field yesterday against a lefty like Sean Manaea. Victor Scott's hitting under, what's he hitting, .180? Not even. He's hitting .082 in the major leagues this year. And that's your option against a left-handed pitcher in a major league game. And yeah, he made a great diving play, so yay defense, but you lost 6-0.
So the value of the defense is that it will prevent you from making a mistake to lose a game.
Yes.
It's not really going to help you win a game because the best teams with the best offenses are going to hit the ball over your defense.
So it's not that we constructed a bad roster.
Right.
You think we have just been too slow and too stubborn.
Too slow to adapt. Yes. And I think that's because I don't think there was anything wrong with the game plan for the day-to-day lineup coming into the year. Because everybody expected Goldschmidt and Arenado to be better than they've been. Maybe they are not peak, right? Maybe they're not exactly what they were in their best years. But you figured they would be solidly well above average good hitters. And they haven't been. That's not anybody's fault. That's not the team's fault. Those guys have track records. You're supposed to be able to count on that.
Yeah.
And they're trying. Like, I'm not picking on those guys.
You can't blame Mozeliak or Marmol for putting those guys in the roster.
No. They're star players that get paid what they do for a reason because they've played at that level for a long time.
Do you have theories on why they're playing so poorly?
Unfortunately, it looks like age.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Goldie's 36. That's a dangerous age. I mean, anything over 32, 33 can be a dangerous age for hitters because all it takes is to be off a fraction of a second and you're no longer the hitter you used to be. If you're a 16th of a second slower than you used to be, or your bat path is off by a fraction of an inch compared to what it used to be, you're no longer the same hitter. That's your margin for error. And with Nolan Arenado, it's a similar thing, but it's a little more frightening because he's a lot younger. He's 33, and he's got more years left. You know, Goldie's a free agent at the end of the year. That's what it looks like. Now, maybe they'll bounce back next year, and they'll figure out some things. Some guys will have to go retool their swing as they get older to make some changes, maybe be shorter to the ball, maybe take a slightly different approach. There are things you can do, but those are off-season things. Those are not in-season things, typically.
What if they don't? What if we're here this time next year and Arenado's playing the same?
It's a really big issue.
Yep.
And we might be, well, I wouldn't say it guaranteed because you never know, right? Jordan Walker could end up breaking out and being the player we thought
that
he was.
That would be a massive help.
Yeah, they definitely need that. You know, Sejacy could be a factor. Newt Bar could finally stay healthy. It wouldn't be that, but there's a good chance that if Arenado is like this next year, then the team will be pretty much what they are right now offensively.
So let me defend the Cardinals a little bit and take some responsibility. I'm very superstitious, and when I'm watching the game, maybe two people in the audience will get this. Everyone else will think I'm just a freak. when I'm watching the game, I feel like I'm the one batting, and there's no way I can hit that slider, and then they don't.
Or so you're making this happen.
Yes. Or when they drive it to the middle, to like the alleys. I think in my younger years, I could have probably gotten to that ball. There's no way I catch that tonight, and they don't. And I'm like, well, there you go.
Are you also like the sit on the same side of the couch guy when things are going well?
Turn it off. Or turn it to watch the news for an inning and come back and see if I've improved.
Are you superstitious with yourself? Like when you were a track athlete?
Very much.
The same thing?
Yeah.
Well, that's different.
No, I know. I agree. But it is different, but I didn't know if it was maybe you were just superstitious with the Cardinals and not yourself.
I was always throwing dirt on myself and, you know, doing this and doing that and, you know, turn those around three times.
Those things make sense.
That's because, a psychological difference.
They're getting your mind into a spot that you want to be in because you actually are the one that's impacting that outcome, but obviously sitting on your couch.
I also had terrible OCD, so I looked like I was dancing a polka most of the time.
Because when you're doing it for yourself, I think you can call it a routine rather than a superstition. But when you're doing it,
you couldn't have called what I did a routine.
It was like, what's he doing?
It was like one of those throwing dirt on himself. Sunbird.
Right. I look like one of those spiders that's trying to attract a female.
Yes.
Slapping my ears and chewing on my lapel.
It's a British accent. It's an elaborate dance to woo the female of the species.
I was on a television show called Lucky Liberty Jackpot back in sixth grade, and I was in the very back row, and they only showed me once, and I was chewing on my lapel.
Oh, no.
And my dad goes, "Ah, damn it!" Sorry, Dad.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.